This is another walking rehabilitation podcast of Peter Hill Explains. Now, as I do more podcasting, I've become more fluent, and I've just put a quick YouTube explaining a lesson how to explain the different scales or teach the different scales of the universe and solar system to kids using three black browsers open concurrently and the ability to use Google natural speaking of words like the distance to the sun. It produces that as a number easy to use, and that reduces the cognitive load of students. They can get the actual theme of the idea without investing the cognitive load up front, so it allows them to gradually build up interest in an area. So having done the more podcasting, it was easier to produce that. And so similarly here, I'm going to attempt to do a podcast on a walk today, or a trip today, to Sculptures by the Sea in Sydney. I'll explain a bit more about it, but the overarching idea here is to get me more fluent on just talking off the top of my head, being able to communicate. So I'll talk you through today. Now, I'm not back at work fully, and so today I went with my wife from the Blue Mountains right down to the sea to look at a sculpture exposition, and I'll talk a bit more about it. But the idea of this particular podcast is to get more used to talking about it or talking off the top of my head. So this is a fairly famous Sydney show, sculpture show, on the shores of the, the Tasman Sea, the Pacific Ocean, outside Sydney, Australia. And it is quite a spectacular view. You've got the large waves crashing into the shore and into these little coves and beaches, and they form up, and you can see some beautiful waves spaced about 30 metres apart, about a metre tall, beautiful, thick, churning water. You can look down from the sandstone cliffs on this beautiful view and view beautiful blue sky up to the horizon, and weathered cliffs. And on these cliffs and the walkways, people have put from about 8 countries an international exposition of different sculptures. But I'll start off talking about the start of the day. Obviously, I suppose I'm suffering a bit of shortness of breath at the moment as I'm trying to rehabilitate. But indeed, that was a bit of a struggle for me getting all the way there. So we started off in Glenbrook in the Blue Mountains and caught a train down into Sydney. Now, this is by no stretch a normal train ride, in that it starts off in Glenbrook and it travels through a canyon. And so the train winds its way through this beautiful canyon, cut through the sandstone foothills of the Blue Mountains, and the Blue Mountains, all the Blue Mountains, is this huge, enormous riverbed, relatively soft sandstone. And as the sandstone uplifts, the rivers stay in the same position, so you get these surprising cliffs and canyons everywhere, which defy imagination. Now, normally you have water travelling down through a place and eroding deep. But what's here is that the actual cliffs have uprisen, and so you have a surprising canyon, a whole lot of surprising geology and wonders in the Blue Mountains. So we went down through Sydney, and a lot of the Sydney now is large developments on the train lines and these skyscrapers, 30-story, 20-story buildings appearing to house high-density population along the rail corridors. So you have these fairly devoid buildings along the way that you go, with the standard cladding and the boring flat surfaces, and then you have the very intensely added on to, additioned little private houses as well, as you look down. They're made from corrugated iron and asbestos and concrete slabs, and people have just added little bits onto it, so you get these very interesting houses that you look at, and then you get these large, monolithic, fairly boring to look at buildings as you go along the way. It's always interesting to see. Then we go into the city, you've got this fairly spectacular architecture from the train used to have a funeral stop, a morgue station. So you see that morgue station, you see the, I suppose, late Victorian Central Station, but around it you see a series of buildings from the 70s and 80s concrete to the more modern skyscrapers with green on the outside. They've been greened and made ecologically, I suppose, aesthetic. You take there, and there's a trip, a fairly long walk to a deep underground, which takes you from Central Station all the way up to Bondi Junction. And then there's another train bus trip, which takes you to the start of Sculptures by the Sea. You get out at the bus stop and walk across the road and follow the people. And the first sculpture you see is this large, built out of various metallic forms, metallic sheets and structures, a large dragonfly which is alighted on the rock, and it is cast against the shores of Bondi with the waves coming in. And there's a fairly iconic walkway where people have always filmed walking up, the life-saving club up there. And you look up there, and it's I suppose quite an interesting thing to see. You then continue along a cliff walk and see various sculptures. The very first sculpture is this fairly, I suppose, boring one of what looks like all sorts going along. I'll just give a few of the ones which struck me. I think one of the more beautiful ones was a small C-shaped one with a glass wave inside it, and the glass was an intense green, and you could see a distorted view through the glass. So, to give you an idea, this is less than a meter across, and the glass was suspended, sort of floating up in this metallic sea, so to speak, and had a wave, and it was all wavy and see-through and held up a certain height, giving you the impression of the wave. So that went rather well. There was another one. I'll try not to get run over. Oh, there's possums everywhere. Oh, this one going up the tree. There's a lot. Oh, it's got a baby on its back. Oh no, I hope, yes, it's got a baby on its back. Okay, so that's an Australian possum. Yes, and there's another various forms where they've actually used the rocks in the formation. There's a very nice but small sculpture showing blue chains linked in a way. It looked like liquid pouring out of the rock going along. Yes, so as you continued up, there was obviously lots of school children, fairly busy going along here. Up there's, I think it's called Mark Park. So there's a sort of structured of a long strip walk, and on the top of the headline, a park with large numbers of people walking around and sculptures set out there. And then it went down, and then there's a small beach. So you've got these coves and beaches on the inside, with more artwork there. And obviously, I could talk a lot about the various ones. I just want to give an overall view of the ones that struck me. There was one particularly interesting one which appealed to the children, and this was a small sort of, I suppose, cartoon boy in bronze or steel with a steel welder, and it, you know, looking very chuffed and rather happy, and behind him was his sculptured creations, these very large male and female parents, just in a sort of a more naive cartoon style, or the, yeah, primary school picture of it, and it really did say a lot. It really got the children in. It was sort of like wired to the children, and they could actually relate to the first sculpture, and then from behind that see what the child was doing and see these other sculptures. So that was it was very clever. There was another very intense sculpture named, sorry, you can see someone playing music. I hope you don't hear that, that here. This is in quite Glenbrook as I'm walking around, called Tenants. And these are wire boxes and then sort of chain mail. And each box was sort of, the size of a small food box, a small milk crate container, roughly 40 centimetres by 40 centimetres of wire. And inside it, in chain mail, when I say linked mail, were these figures sort of caught within the boundaries of the box. And these boxes were arranged high up, in sort of a, sort of like a tree or a matrix going up into the sky. And it sort of really spoke to me because you could see lives defined by people's small boxes and interrelated, and they're separated from each other. So it was a very intense sculpture. There was also a sculpture which appealed to me, which was a distorted house that is, from a particular angle, it looked correct, but when you walked up to it, it obviously had the perspective built into it, so it looked odd when it was there. Yeah, there's lots of, I suppose, very interesting sculptures which said things. I suppose one of the a couple of intensely beautiful or conceptually beautiful sculptures was one down on the beach at Tarramurra. So you walk down on onto the beach, and there's this dome made by hundreds of steel rods which go in semicircles and cross each other. And onto that rod is that dome are these fish. These sort of plastic fish, and they're held by holders with little holes or speckles in them. So the fish look like trouts or real live fish, and they're all swirling in a circle or ball, and you can walk into it, and it gives you a real impression of fish going in a ball. You feel as though you're actually under the water and seeing it. It was quite a beautiful, impressive sculpture. In terms of, also near there, it's called a revolution of cylinders. So this is a second or another sculpture. And this one had cylinders, and they were wire cylinders, so you could see through them. And inside the wire cylinder was another wire cylinder at an angle. And it looked as though it was floating, but it was actually supported by its edges touching inside, slightly smaller, and a smaller one inside that. So that was quite intense. And that, for me, was the interaction of the computer vision of the world we have now, that we can see and conceptualize inside objects. Another very similar one to it was two surfers, sort of large muscular surfers, striding out to the sea, and and this is on the cliffside, slightly larger than normal, so you could see it was a sculpture, but it was formed purely by cross sections, so interlocking cross sections. It's sort of like a grid. So if you can imagine taking a whole series of slices of someone, sort of top to bottom, and across every 10 centimetres going up, and then locking that together, you get a reconstruction, almost like a computer graphic, of the sculpture. And that just had a lot of energy and light going into it. Also on that, I suppose, theme of interlocking, there was someone who was able to get three trees with holes drilled in it, and the actual trees locked together with, yeah, the trees was were basically a central trunk and then a branch, a Y branch, and the Y branches, one of the Y branches went through a hole, so it sort of locked together rather beautifully. There was another sculpture of this tree, which was sharpened up to a pencil shape point, and I think that sort of really created attention, as you're normally used to trees blooming out, and this one was to a sharp point. There was also the, I think, classic overused picture or sculpture of a horse or a group of horses, and Australia's celebrating 100 years since its last successful cavalry charge in 1917, where Australians charged the a Turkish emplacement in what is now modern Israel. So there's a real romantic view of the horse. And it is true that today Australian soldiers, or I think it's still, that they have an arm enough, they have with a little pick on it, and you say, what's this pick for? And it says, well, to get the stones out of the hooves of your horses. And you sort of say, oh, it's still there. So there's a big horse tradition, but the actual romance of horses is sort of an easy target. You know, people get emotion and it's an easy target. So I think that one felt rather flat. I'll just close it off on the exhibition side, on the what I think is perhaps the worst piece of sculpture, which I suppose is getting kitsch, and I think it's just, I suppose, it was a some sort of moon sitting on top of this very silvery spout, and a boy sitting in it and holding up but he was red glossy plastic, and going up to a gold sort of animal which was holding something down to him. It was a very confused, sort of uninspiring one. That's probably got the People's Choice Award. So yeah, look, unfortunately, I had to actually go across it, had to catch the bus back to Bondi. And I suppose that what's interesting there is when you walk through the Bondi Junction, the vibrant markets and food places which are there. It's very interesting to see Sydney alive and multiculturally. Well, that's all I have to say on that one. And that was just more a practice of me giving a description. And I'll pull it up there. So that's Sculptures by the Sea. So if you do come down to Australia, it's worthwhile checking when this art exhibition is on and having a little look, because you'll see so much. Like there's, as you look across, there's this beautiful cemetery on the side of the coast, as you look up there overlooking the sea, and there's just so much history there, and so much more behind the architecture. So a lot of the life-saving, the sort of cultural icons of Australia are built into this area of the of surf and nature, but then also very crowded, cosmopolitan living, people living on top of each other, and ethnic communities all crowded together. So it's a very interesting place to visit if you ever come down to Australia. So that's all for now. That's me explaining my day, and I hope I've done that a bit more coherently. And that's all for now. And in the meantime, keep on doing science.